Hello and welcome to the Practical Pisces podcast. I'm Chelsea, your favorite psychic medium, your host and your mentor through the world of spirituality and all things woo. I'm here to share my stories and what I've learned along my path and my experiences. My mission here is to help more people open themselves up to their own intuition and their connection with spirit. And with that, let's open the door to intuition and spirit. Hello, this is Chelsea. Today I have a special guest. This is one of my favorite humans. Her name is Rebecca Wolf. She was one of my first mentors and teachers at the beginning of my spiritual development, and I'm really excited to be reconnecting with her in this capacity 5 years later. To be able to have her here to talk about the full moon, the eclipse, Aries season. We may even talk a little bit astrocartography and all these different fun topics that we share and have been discussing for weeks and months now to finally have all the words together to be able to share that with you all. So I'd like to introduce you to Rebecca Wolf. Rebecca, would you tell us a little bit about yourself, your astrology, and whatever you'd like to share?
Wow, Chelsea, thank you so much for that beautiful introduction. I'm so thrilled to finally be recording this with you today. Let's maybe start with a little bit of my astrology. I'm an Aries sun in Western or tropical astrology and a Pisces sun in astronomy or true sky astrology. Astronomy astrology is something new in my realm of awareness and has piqued my curiosity. For those that might be hearing astronomy astrology for the very first time, it's based on where the planets actually are sitting in the sky versus Western astrology, the one we're all very familiar with, is based on a mathematical calculation to tell us where the planets are sitting in the sky. So let's get back to my two suns. Aries, the bold, assertive fire sign connected to the physical body, characterized by passion and courage and spontaneity, natural born leaders, driven with ambition and enthusiasm, and really confront challenges in life with this fearlessness or bring it on attitude. And then there's Pisces, the dreamy, empathetic, flowy water sign, known for being sensitive and creative and how tuned in they can be with their intuition. They're very compassionate, imaginative, and connected to the magical, mystical wonders of life, as well as having a really deep interest in spirituality. And as archetypes, I find these two suns very fascinating. While Aries charges ahead with determination, Pisces tends to navigate life with that gentle touch. And it makes it for a really intriguing blend of awareness in my experience of sensitivity and strength. So they bring about the energy of endings and beginnings. We have Aries, the beginning of our astrology calendar, Pisces, the ending. It's a fire and water sign. It's the yin and the yang. So there's a lot of opposite. Yet I can see and deeply resonate with how both have helped me live out my own evolutionary mission, how I've leaned into both unknowingly throughout my life. And then to take what I've learned in my own experiences to be able to teach it to those through those journeys and experiences. I equally love the body, our temple, and the spiritual and energetic aspects of us. We are so fascinating and pure divinity in our creation. I like to teach embodiment through self-empowerment. I'm really passionate about sacred medicine containers that I hold for women. We dive into healing all aspects and layers and trusting the unique wisdom of our body and our heart. I also love to teach a variety of yoga classes that focus on breath and fascia and the nervous system. And I incorporate sound baths, gong specifically as a vibration, and they create a healing sacred geometry in the waters of our body, which I find super fascinating. And it's always just a lot of fun. I also have classes for new parents, baby and me classes, which are so much fun and blissfully chaotic. And pre-postnatal classes. And yeah, it's just a lot of fun to connect with women and see them through all these different like processes and times in their life, all their own evolutionary growth and expansion. I teach them all here locally in Ventura at Grassroots Yoga, which is one of the catalysts spirit used to bring us together, Chelsea. And yeah, just Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited to see where this conversation in spirit takes us today.
And Rebecca Wolf really does hold such a beautiful space. I've taken more classes of hers than I can count. And she does have a beautiful specialty of working with mothers and newborns and babies and blending the two and holding space for women in every experience. And that's something I've always really loved and respected that she's done. So I'm really excited to have her here today. So Spirit had given me a message for a specific group of people. Now, I think something that you and I see, because we see people and clients all the time, and you have, maybe in my experience, I'm sure you'll agree with me, there are people that you can almost put in your mind into an archetypal category, even without knowing their astrology and just holding space for them. You've got people where you're like, these people are going through the same path and these people are going through the same things and these people are very similar. And they sometimes get these similar messages. And what I've been noticing is the way in which Spirit is giving us messages to specific lineages of people. When Spirit gives us messages for these people, they're also assigning confirmations so that they know it's for them. I'm starting to see that a lot on TikTok. I'm seeing that a lot on Instagram, where someone will share a spirit message and say the confirmations for this message are these few things. And so I had done one for the moon, and I'd never assigned confirmation to a message before. Have you sat with that?
In some cases, it's just come through organically without me actually labeling it as these are going to be your confirmations. But Spirit's definitely given me things to communicate that people should look for. So I guess it's the same thing without the label, conscious awareness of the what I'm calling it. So I want to say yes, but it wasn't intentional on my part.
I've been in your full moon meditations. You definitely do your meditations from such a channeled space that I feel like too, you'll see these synchronicities show up in life that show up in these moon meditations that you do.
Yeah.
Did you get to see the eclipse?
No, I didn't get to see the eclipse.
I went out at the time it was supposed to, but the cloud cover was so thick I couldn't see it. But when I was sitting outside earlier that night, there was clouds of white and black swirling over the moon. And the yin yang energy was showing up for me all the last 24 hours. The balance of dark and
so
light.
So strong.
So strong. I even wore my yin yang earrings because I was like, okay, I'm going to sit in that energy. But the astrology stuff, it's almost like I can't listen to it because I'm not sure.
It's the astrology piece is really interesting because I can see the truth in both, let's call them lineages right now. Both lineages. Okay. Just for ease. And so the tropical astrology or Western astrology would say that this is a Libra full moon lunar eclipse. And if you are actually looking at the sky, the moon is still in Virgo and the sun is still in Pisces.
And so is it Mandela effect? Is it that we're in a new timeline? Is it that it's never been what it was? Can they both coexist and be right? Is it about being right? Because Virgo might be like, it is about being right. It is about black and white.
It could be. I also feel like they each have their place. Like they each have, it's almost like they each have their own timeline. Yeah. It's fascinating. So I have done some deep dive rabbit holes, the two versions of astrology that I resonate with both. So that's why I'm like, it could absolutely be both. And I think they both will have their place as we move forward. I did read something the other day that is resonating with me is like the tropical or Western astrology is more aligned with how we move through our 3D life. So our more physical aspects of the reality we've created. And the true sky astrology or the astronomy, you're physically looking at the sky, is more aligned with how you can move through your spiritual aspects. And I feel like that could be a deep truth because there's aspects to the astronomy that is going to challenge us to peel back some of our layers, peel back some of our attachments that we might have. Because it's like, how attached are you to the perceived sun sign you've been given? Can you expand beyond that? So many of us align with even that as a label, in a sense.
I think there's been a lot that I have felt in my own experience and I've seen for other people, and not even just with astrology, but in life in general right now, like how detached can you be from expectation or labels or who you are in any given moment? Our culture right now is really about you have to identify as this, like down to your political party, down to your orientation, down to your gender, down to where you are, who you are, what you're doing or how you're going to do it, down to your astrology. And so we're a labeling culture. But we're flowy people.
Yeah.
We change all the time.
It's okay to have a label, but can you have the label without the attachment and allow it to be fluid and expand and evolve with you in whatever way that is?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same. Labels are everywhere, just like you were saying. I'm working on putting together a spring cleanse idea for like a sisterhood, so a group of women, and Spirit's been very specific that they want me to wait until after the eclipse to actually start any of that. Okay, after the eclipse season, got it. But it's really fascinating because you say the word cleanse and people associate it just with nutrition, but what we're becoming more aware of is our body is literally our temple, and we've not cared for our temple in the way a temple deserves to be honored and revered. So the cleanse is like beyond just the nutrition, how can we cleanse our temple? What are some of these practices that we can bring into our daily lives to honor this temple we've been gifted to walk around in this reality and experience all these experiences that we get to wake up and have every day?
Oh my gosh. Yes. And we've also been taught, like in life, there's been a lot of, this is also why I think the moon also may be Virgo, because there's been a lot about responsibility. I keep seeing videos recently of people saying, do you want your like royal, revered, larger than life guides to be more in your life? You're gonna have to clean your house. You're gonna have to clean the physical temple that is your home and your physical temple of your body. Otherwise, they don't wanna come hang out. If you had a queen as one of your guides from a past life or whatever, or your lineage, she doesn't wanna come to your dirty house or sit in your dirty bath. And it's not a judgment around if we can be dirty or messy or not, but even animals clean their dens. Even animals maintain their spaces. Even birds spend weeks building the most perfect nest.
Yes. And
we all do it in a certain way, and everybody has their own way of doing things. But honestly, when I see people who are messy, it usually comes from a place of like disassociation or like disconnectedness from body. And so cleanse, clean, immaculate, these things are important too. Sometimes you get from spirit, oh, what do I need to do for my spiritual growth? And how can I expand my soul? And they're like, do your laundry.
Yeah.
Mop your floors.
Clean out the closet that just has everything in it. Like, what don't you need? Streamline. Because it's interesting, the more clutter and stuff we hold around us, the harder it can be to drop in to connect. Like I really find a difference, because everything that you have holds an energy. So if you have a lot of stuff, especially the old stuff that you tend to like hang on to, if you have a lot of stuff, it just clutters the energetic space and the capacity for you to have and be a clear channel.
Do you find that when you are going through a shift in your life, or you're going maybe through an emotional process, do you find that you clean things out, or do you have a procedure around shifting energy when it comes to your items?
Yes, I do. So I do two things. One, in feng shui, if you move 28 things in a space, it shifts the entire energy of the room. So if you clean out your stuff often and you're shifting energy and there's not stuff to get rid of, if you shift 28 things in that space, it shifts the energy of the entire space. So I always find like that really interesting. And then if I'm going through big change, it's interesting because sometimes I get on so much of a roll, later I'll go back and be like, oh, I remember I had this. And I'll go look for it. And I'm like, it purged.
I was just having that conversation with my partner. I've been looking for this shirt, this pair of pants, and like this thing for weeks and weeks now. I think it got donated to Goodwill, but I wanted those things. And we were literally just talking about that. And I was like, oh yeah, we moved across the country, so things get lost in the shuffle. But it's very freeing. It's detachment to material world. It's detachment to all this stuff. I think we are collectively going through a lot of detachment around belief systems, items, and how we look at things. And we're really being shifted. I got some texts this morning from people losing their damn mind over things coming up around this eclipse. Truths revealed. big healing. I was crying yesterday a lot, in a good way.
Yeah.
But I think I saw and witnessed a lot of people have a revelation, good or bad. Mm-hmm. So when you think of, as the astrologer here, when you, even though I'm not, I'm a curious nerd, but not dedicated in the way that you've been dedicated to the knowledge. How do you feel about eclipses? There are so much different beliefs around them. Do you manifest? Do you not? What do you think eclipses are really about? And do you feel that they're as serious as they get put out to be? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Eclipses are fascinating to me. So I tend to separate them from a lunar eclipse to a solar eclipse. I feel like they're opposite ends of the spectrum of what they touch upon. A lunar eclipse, I often feel like this is the point where we're getting a lot of our shadow stuff that we've been working on, the last bits of those layers coming out of what we have the capacity to. So it often feels they initiate a lot of change, and a lot of change really fast. And sometimes it brings in just this immense clarity of, yes, that's complete. I'm moving on. No regrets. Not even a second thought. It's very linear, straightforward path. And then sometimes it's those that have been like working on a lot of shadow stuff, a lot of deep healing, like trauma. The eclipse can feel like it re-emerges all of that stuff, presenting it in this way of, look at what you've done. We get to throw this out now. And in that, I think a lot of times it can get lost in translation of, oh, it's coming up again. I thought I dealt with all of this stuff. And then I feel spirit sometimes tests us like, okay, you said you've done all of this work. Now, have you really done the work? Can you just see it and be like, thanks, bye-bye, let the mind go again?
Like in that moment of being re-triggered by a wound that you're aware of, by a wound that you've poured so much energy into, you're being re-triggered to see how you handle it differently.
Exactly.
Are you going to handle it differently? I think we're also seeing the evidence of our manifestations. Like the 12-12 portal to now.
So strong.
So very strong. I don't think people realize what steps they've put into motion, what's actually happened. And I know me. I know I did a lot of stuff intentionally. I did a lot of manifestation. I'm on the other side of that. But I will say, one of my mantras and manifestations was, I'm safe to be seen. And within 6 weeks of like really focusing on that mantra, I had a video go viral. And Spirit's like, this is the first test. How are you going to feel about it? Are you going to let it get to your head? Are you going to let it make you feel bad about yourself? Or are you going to stay neutral? Where are you going to be in that middle zone? And I actually stayed neutral. I stayed in the middle. I was like, it's cool. I wasn't denying what was possible, but it was very like, really? Okay. And it felt like a gentle test. It was a very simple video. It wasn't anything crazy. It was just like, oh, cute. My life. Yay. Great. Very simple. And they're like, now listen, you could go viral on something that's very intimate, on something that's very personal, or something that's the content that maybe you and I create as people. We can really be vulnerable, really share a message. And what happens when that goes viral and you get really seen for that thing you said? Because the fear of being seen isn't actually about being seen. It's about not being able to be unseen.
Yeah, you're so great.
You can't be unseen. So what if you say the wrong thing or you judge what you've said? A flower blooms regardless of who walks by, but it can never know if someone's going to pick it from its roots, if someone's going to stomp on it or say that it's ugly.
Yeah.
And also maybe the flower can't get to its head if everyone's like, that's the most beautiful flower I've ever seen. And it is so amazing. And rise on high, sweet flower. We are going to worship this flower. There are so many ways that it could go in the extremes. And I felt like Spirit was saying to me, the higher you climb, the harder it is to avoid the extremes and to stay in that neutral zone. And I would say even you and I, is I feel like we're these hidden pearls that the shell is starting to crack open and say, someone's going to see you sparkle. And we're like, hee hee, oh, makes me nervous.
Yeah. Seeing is interesting because I feel like it's coming up for a lot of those that have been playing small, intentionally, unintentionally, maybe a little bit of both. I know that's definitely true for me. I'm really navigating the edges of my comfort zone and putting myself out there. There's something with video and speaking versus written word that's also different in terms of that being seen, which I also find very fascinating. It's easier for me to put written something out with a random image that represents that writing versus actually doing a video and doing little lives on Instagram or Reels or whatever those things are. But it's so fascinating. Anytime I have, they get a lot more attention than anything else. Mm-hmm. And I feel myself vacillate. I'm like, ooh. Right? Ooh. And that's part of what the work has been preparing us for, is we have to look into the darkness, the shadows, and heal those pieces so that we can expand into greater aspects of light. Because it's like those little kinetic balls mm-hmm. that you have for kids that if you bring it together, it's a tight little sphere. Mm-hmm. But in order to expand it, you yes. have to expand in both mm-hmm. directions. You can't just pull into the light Mm-mm. or you can't just go into the dark. They come together.
I would say year 7 really brought up feelings around relationships and specifically friendships. Yesterday, again, like during that energy, during this being seen piece, I met my first like in-person friend in my new town. And on the drive, I was crying, like weeping. I was so nervous. My partner was kind of messing with me before I left. It's like a first date and you're getting so anxious. He's like, take it slow. He was making fun of me a little bit. And I was like, after so many things that I'd gone through, I feel so vulnerable and I feel so exposed. And at the same time, that's who I am. I am emotional and vulnerable. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I don't have a single damn fire sign in my chart. I'm not, but I am a mush bag of emotions. It's pretty grounded, but the feelings are there. And this song came on and Spirit Comes in Messages, and it's I Wish You Well. And it was the new Sierra Farrell album, which if you like a little bit of twang and a little bit of fairy energy in that, her new album is amazing. But it was this song about all these, no matter how hard you hurt me, no matter how hard you broke my heart, no matter what you've done, I still wish you well. I still will always have a piece of my heart that loves you. And I'm weeping and I'm going to meet this person. And it ended up being, she walked in the door at 11:11 and we left the coffee shop at 1:11. Spirit was like, girl, you're okay.
Yes.
I almost want to say to my people and to anyone who really listens to this, like, Spirit will give you confirmation when something is safe. We went through all of those lessons of discernment so that we could tell. And you know what tickled me was the way this person smiled reminded me of your smile. And it reminded me of another friend of mine's smile. And Spirit said, it's not about it looking like a specific person. What you saw in the smile was a genuine, loving, open-hearted smile, the double smile. I think this eclipse is bringing up, like, you're being reminded of your lessons of discernment. You're being reminded of your wounds. You're being, this is also, it does feel like this is completion on this loop, this cycle, this pattern. But you have to see it. You have to see the pattern and where it goes back to. How do you feel that an eclipse can maybe shift our nervous system response? We're very responsive to the moon in general and our emotional state. How might somebody who's listening to this sit with their nervous system, or maybe tools, tips, suggestions?
I definitely have some thoughts on the moon and our nervous system, the moon and our body, the moon and our fascia, mm-hmm. which our fascia and our nervous system are so interconnected. Mm-hmm. That piece in itself fascinates me because those two systems literally are every aspect of this temple. And if either one of them are challenged, we are very aware of it in our conscious awareness. And both of those systems rely on us being hydrated, the waters mm-hmm. of our body, which run through our circulatory system. Mm-hmm. And the moon affects water in a very big way. If we're dehydrated, we're likely to feel bigger symptoms of what they call ascension symptoms, mm-hmm. like headaches, tension being held in the body, old injuries being inflamed, pinching of nerves coming up. If you're in a hydrated state, it's almost like when that energy comes in, your nervous system is saying, okay, here's our opportunity to reset, because our nervous system also responds in pattern. So if you have a lot of trauma in your past and you've been working on healing it, and that's trauma across the board, it can be like little traumas, big traumas, whatever you've been working on, your nervous system responds to whatever that event was, and then your whole body responds to that event every time you feel something similar to that. when the moon brings that up, it's this opportunity to say, okay, are we going to respond at the nervous system level in the same way, or are we going to be conscious with this and give our body what it needs to shift and reset the nervous system, so that we're disconnecting that old response and connecting to the path of the new response that we want to create, which is holding ourselves in kindness and compassion and honoring the feelings that are coming up versus shoving them down or ignoring them. Or if there's a monologue or dialogue loop in the mind, what practices are we going to call in to get it out of the body so it's external to us, and this internal space, this internal temple, is now being cleansed in a sense. It's being adjusted. We're moving those 28 things of feng shui around so the energy is different inside. So then you're now creating more healthful or supportive nervous system patterns as you move forward. So as those very same things come up, your trigger is not as charged. You've deactivated a charge of that trigger. Now, it's not to say that you may not get triggered again. You may get triggered, but how you respond to it will be completely different.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. It makes me think of, for whatever reason, Spirit's showing me a specific scene in my mind. I can see where so many of us are actually responding differently and we don't realize it. And it's, you have grown. Look at how you're responding. It's not that you got re-triggered and that's the problem. It's look how you're responding. Did you ever watch Sex and the City? Is that a show you ever watched?
Oh, love it.
Okay, great. So remember when Carrie and Aiden are together and they're moving in together and she's like, when I get home, I need an hour where you don't talk to me. And she had to set this boundary. It became this whole big thing in her process and she was really going through a lot just to even ask for that hour. The second that he said okay and he was silent and she went to go lay down, she realized she didn't need the boundary. She just wanted to know it was okay to ask. And and so it's sometimes we want to just set the boundary to know we can, and then all of a sudden we don't need it. I saw that for myself with my partner, and I'm gonna be vulnerable for a second. I am a clumsy human. It's who I am. It's been my whole life. No matter what I do, where I go, where I am, even in my own home, especially in my own home, I'm clumsier. And my partner will always, to make light of it and to bring lightheartedness to it, jokingly tease me or just go, oh, Chelsea, there you go again. And it would always actually really hurt my feelings because I couldn't control it. But the more, but that's the thing. I wanted to control the clumsiness. I want to control so I can fit in this like perfect box and never be upset or judged or whatever. And so like the clumsiness, my whole life has been this test of humility. I'm trying to release the control I want to put over things. But the more you try to control clumsiness, the worse it gets. And so I remember saying to him, look, I wonder if I didn't feel like every time I made this mistake or I was clumsy, that there would be a reaction to it. That reaction, it makes me feel bad. And I'm sitting with that. I'm trying to process that, trying to work through it. And him just saying, I won't comment on it. And then I'm like, oh, I might have a very strong reaction to this that maybe isn't needed. Maybe I could just let it be playful. Maybe I could just let him bring humor to something and make it lighthearted, but I'm seeing it as judgment. Or I'm seeing this as something that could create resentment in my relationship. Because I'm like, what if 50 years later, you're just like, I fucking hate this lady because she can't hold the damn glass without spilling. I'm worried that it's going to become this like big thing later in life where he's like, I can't be with you because you're too clumsy. I need to sit with that clumsiness, that part of myself that I judge so much. Sometimes we set the boundary and we don't need it.
Yeah.
Maybe the playfulness was supposed to help me heal it, yet I felt it as judgment. And how many of these lessons that are showing up for us right now are just highlighting it to be like, hi, you're not necessarily loving yourself fully by some of these choices that you're making, but you could choose to love yourself right now through this discomfort.
Yes, I resonate with that so deeply because I've experienced something similar, only I was in your boyfriend's shoes. I always had this really big response or reaction to something happening. And I'd be like, are you okay? And my husband's not do that. I just tripped. Like, why are you making such a big deal about it? And I really didn't even realize I was doing that until he pointed it out. And I was like, wow. And then it was such a programmed response. It took so much effort in me to not do it when something would happen, and reprogramming that and really looking at why I did it was very fascinating. why the response came out, and just like the world just ended. We crashed. Are you okay? I just tripped on the sidewalk. It's okay.
Well, and also the hypervigilance piece, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, as animals, like, I think sometimes we forget we are animals. We do have a nervous system that is prepared to have to run, to have to flee, to have to fight, to have to escape, to have to do whatever it is you need to do to survive. And it's not like those systems aren't good things to have for the body. We need those responses. We do, in a lot of ways, have benefit to being hypervigilant. I say that in the sense of I've always had to look over my shoulder, and it's helped prepare me for sketchy situations that have happened. I've been almost mugged twice, but turns out Chelsea backed into a corner and goes, fight immediately. And all of a sudden I'm chasing this person who's trying to mug me with a baseball bat down a parking lot. And I'm like, okay, good to know that about me. But is that how I want to react every time I'm feeling hypervigilant, or every time I'm like trying to find safety? And I can sit in my backyard, not watch everything that goes by to make sure that everything's going to be okay. I think as a culture, we've had to be hypervigilant so much. And I was even thinking too, different waves of parents and what they experienced as a collective and what we were being exposed to can really shift how you do things. So I think about my mom when she was growing up, her parents were watching the news and it was going, do you know where your kids are? To then my childhood, her having that fear, they were really starting to talk about like people, kids being kidnapped and all these things, and like people really needing to pay more attention to their kids, which then shifted my mom to being super hypervigilant with her kids and me not going outside very much as a kid and not going outside alone or not walking in the woods by myself or doing these different things. How is our personal experience also a collective experience, also an example of the time period you're growing up in? If we even look at astrology too, we have these group of people have this in Uranus, or these people have their Saturn, these larger groups. So that can really show up for nervous system.
Especially the outer planets that move much slower, there is collectives of like years of those individuals, those souls that come through in that time that will have very similar traits of what they'd be working through or experiencing based on the opportunity of working with that energy of the planet too and its placement. So it is really fascinating. And it's also this generation as women too, we are working through and healing all of this wounding from the masculine eons and lineages that you might not in this lifetime go around like consciously hating on men or anything like that. However, if it's in your lineage or your experience as a soul, deep in the dark corners of your shadow, it could be just an automatic response without realizing you had that automatic response because it's so very quiet and subtle. Yet it's in the nuances of that where you would be able to see some of those things. Mm-hmm. And it then amplifies into patterns because it's been generations. So your mom's experience would amplify into your experience, into your daughter's experience, mm-hmm. et cetera. Or like we could go back to like grandparents. And my grandparents were in World War I and World War II. Mm-hmm. That was when they grew up. And just in that immediate connection to those experiences of their nervous system, of what was going on in the world then, it informed my nervous system and my experiences of the world. So it's really fascinating. There is so much healing that's being unwound because we've done so much work already. Now we can get to those really deep layers and start to really shift on a collective level, mm-hmm. the overall responses and patterns and habits that we tend to fall into because it's a culture that we create around ourselves that make it true.
Even think about this too. When your mother was in your grandmother's womb, you were also being grown at that same time. Whatever your grandmother was experiencing while pregnant with your mother was being implanted into your DNA. The hormones, the stress hormones, the joy, the whatever it may have been, those are also implanted into you. That's why we say generational healing, because it's literally on the hormonal level, on the DNA level, we have these things being implanted. In my mind, I keep hearing the phrase, it ends with me. But even if you choose not to have children and you do that healing, it literally will end with you because you're not pushing forward the lineage. Or if you choose to put forward the lineage, how you carry a baby or how that experience goes and what you experience during pregnancy will dictate your grandchild's DNA. And to realize you're the ancestor right now.
Yeah.
You're the next ancestor right now. You're the next matriarch right now. So what are you putting forward for the lineage? As humans, we're meant to procreate. We're meant to continue the human race.
Yes.
That's our purpose. And we find a lot of other purposes within that. But how do you affect your lineage by the choices you make to heal? I think we hear generational curse breaker, this concept, and we have our own personal experience, but I think we don't see it at times. We feel it, but we're not seeing that it's this tangible, big thing that's actually being asked of you, not just something you experience. There's action there. Whether it's Pisces season or Aries season or not, it is spring and we're being asked to take action. You're an Aries, and then in theory, your spirit body is a Pisces, in theory. I feel like we're gonna just let it be in theory for now. When you sit in Aries season with your roots in Aries, how do you feel like that shows up for you in taking action?
I do tend to get much more motivated around this time of year. I think the light also has a lot to do with it. We have a lot more light that we can take in. Our capacity for light gets expanded around this time of year. Mm-hmm. And there's this really interesting need for nourishment and care around this time of year. We've come out of that hibernation sense. So my Aries is not necessarily a typical Aries because I've always been 0 degrees. So I've always been, even in the tropical or Western astrology, I've pulled from both that Pisces Aries always because I'm between the signs technically with that cusp. I've never really had that real strong Aries fire, although it does come out when I do get a new idea, or I'm a great cheerleader, a great motivator, which to the point sometimes it can be very annoying, and that's very Aries.
It is very Aries.
Right now.
Something I notice about Aries too is and I just have seen in my friendships with people that are Aries around me, I feel like Aries have such a physical body experience about a lot of their healing. Health comes up a lot for my Aries people. I feel like you all use your bodies more than a lot of signs. Actually, I feel Aries, you all use your temple. You all get taken. I just feel like there is this very magnetic awareness of the body for people that are Aries. I feel like Aries can be really great dancers, really great body workers, movement, all these different things. And I see that in you. You're the yoga goddess and you do a lot and have a lot of education on the body.
Yeah, for me personally, the external reflection of my temple is my motivation, interestingly enough. How it feels, how it looks. And it's interesting, I've been sharing with my husband lately how I feel dense right now. And trying to understand the density, which I know it is connected to some emotions that are wanting to be processed, but understanding which ones they are, because there's so much rolling around, I do feel it's part of my DNA turning into that crystalline light energy is then the parts that are still that carbon-based feel super heavy on me. And I find that so fascinating because it's such an opposing sensation in my body. As an Aries, the body does inform me a lot, but from both the inside and then the reflection of it, how it looks, how it feels. And that tends to be my motivating factor. The other thing I notice about tropical astrology, I do have a grand fire trine, so I'm not sure if it's just the Aries, but my fire gets really excited about new things, but my follow through it could use some work.
I can resonate with that because I have so much desire to do so much. And then there are moments where I really want to be more reliable to my desires because there are things I want to do and because this is a good idea and I have to take action. And then we go, okay, I'm actually really tired. Just coming up with the idea was a lot. I need some time. And I think too, sometimes that follow through, it's, I know if I did it now, it would do well, but I can only do so much. I'm like, oh my God, I'm already spent. I see that we're also like Aries season. I feel like people can really make themselves very busy and really push their limits. You can be wanting to take action. You can burn yourself out really quickly. Spirit's been reminding me, we don't have to race to the finish line just because we have a sense of what it might look like.
Yeah. It's interesting because it's like, what do we think is at the finish line?
Expectation. What we think is just expectation, and detachment is letting go of expectation and wanting to be prepared without necessarily making these hard and fast plans. I think I see in myself wanting to be more consistent in certain things because consistency is helpful. Our world moves on a cycle. We move in cycles, we move in patterns. There is some consistency that we can find in the cosmos. And also we can turn around and say, actually, there's a whole other way of looking at it. I think that's what we keep showing is the black and white, the gray, the color, the balance, we're being reminded a lot right now. Your beliefs can change down to the things that seem so set in stone. Even the damn stars.
Even the dang star. And it's really fascinating because we mentioned how earlier the lunar eclipse, I feel, is so different than like a solar eclipse. Mm-hmm. And we do have a solar eclipse coming up that's a total eclipse. And it does create this like X marks the spot in the U.S. Over Texas, which is very fascinating to me. And I do feel like this particular eclipse coming up with the solar eclipse is this initiator or activator of sorts. So in tropical or Western astrology, it's going to be a solar eclipse in Aries.
Okay.
So let's stick with that for just a minute. Mm-hmm. So an out of balance Aries can be very chaotic. They have a lot of all over the place energy and it can be a little bit more challenging for them to ground. They're more like a wildfire than like a bonfire. And in that space with the solar eclipse is coming, I feel like the initiation or the activation is going to be the activation of chaos to help us lean into and understand the level of discernment that we've created or grown for ourselves. And then also our ability to trust our own intuition. So it's going to activate all of these different events, let's say, of having, do you just respond to what's external to you? Or are you going to come back to yourself like you've learned to do over the last few years, specifically in all the work that we've been intentionally doing and respond differently? Are you going to come back, check in with yourself, check in with what is your truth, and then lean into that truth, lean into that with trust and allow whatever is the external chaos to just observe it. You don't have to get involved in it and allow it to be as it is. Or is it going to suck you in? Are you going to step into the center of a tornado?
There's something about that too, where it is a portal for change and it can be very efficient. Eclipse season, the word I always think is efficient.
Super efficient.
How I felt too, okay, I genuinely feel like there's something different this time about bringing things into balance. This feels like eclipse for balance and it's efficient and it's quick and you do get to just be done with things. We're really being encouraged to listen to the immaculate innocence of our soul and our heart because loving is risky.
Yeah.
Loving is risky. I had that video that I did of me and my partner and someone said, what's going to happen in 5, 10, and 20 years? Will you still be together? And I was like, I don't have the answer for that. I don't know. My heart says, hell yeah. But in the same breath, nothing goes to plan. All I can do is choose to love today and grow every day and grow as a person. And I do believe that it will lead to a long lasting relationship. So we can never know, but we still have to choose to love. And that's why we're here.
Yeah. To practice that love.
And doing it knowing, hey, you may get hurt. Hey, you Living with an innocent heart is the goal. Now we're not being naive, but we're allowed to discern and use all these tools we've learned, but we still have to walk through life with an open heart. Mm-hmm. And we can't just keep ourselves hermity. I think COVID and the pandemic made everybody feel more comfortable with the hermit lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I'm here for it. I love to be home. I love to be in my jam jams. I love to be around my safe people. I love that. And let's put it, all these opportunities for me to get out of my house, to start to tiptoe my way into my new world or this new reality. So many people made big leaps of faith, made big jumps, started to experience that new chapter. And we're supposed to interact with other humans. It's really easy to not be triggered when you're by yourself.
Yeah.
I had someone who, I think, she's been single for a while. And she's, I can totally tell in her soul, she's so ready for a relationship. And there's been a lot of self-love healing that's shown up for her. And Spirit said the mantra for her to be, I am ready to learn love, safety, and partnership. There was so much healing that I did in a fast track on having so much heart wounding. And I learned that in partnership, not necessarily on the journey by myself. They say to heal something, you need to experience the extreme other direction. So if, say, a baby lacked physical touch for the first few months of its life, to heal that wound, it would need an expansive physical touch for a long period of time to counterbalance that. Whatever I think healing is showing up for you and you want to be done with something, you have to test the extreme opposite of that at times. And eclipses, I think, do also show us the extremes. And so when we think about our love languages, or we think about how we love and how things show up for us, oftentimes our love languages are what we were lacking. Mm-hmm. My love language is acts of service. Is that because no one has ever been of service to you, or that you didn't have people show up for you when you needed it most? And how far back does that go? And so now to heal that, it's not that you need more of someone not showing up for you, but you need to see someone who shows up without a doubt, so that you can feel safe that I can trust someone to show up for me.
Yeah.
Spirit is excited about love right now. Like love, like even though, eclipses, there's so much. It's here, but there's an opportunity for people to find partnership over the next, I want to say like month or two. In my intuition, it feels like the next month or two, there's a lot of opportunities for partnership. Not just like new love and friendship. It is lovey-dovey, snuggly cute, like ooey-gooey kind of love coming in.
Yeah.
Aries season is fun like that. Spring is fun like that. Even the animals experience that. Why wouldn't we?
Yeah.
In abundance. It is at every turn right now. And this is that part of, okay, if it's our 3D world and this eclipse is in Libra, Libra is very lovely. Libra is very like, ooh, we could fill into each other's cups so nicely. I'm wondering how many people who have maybe been single for a long time may experience a door opening in long-term committed relationship right now.
And it's interesting because it's relationship beyond, I think the 3D aspect of relationship is one thing, but I also think the relationship, your relationship with the divine also is a big theme right now in terms of just bringing in that opportunity of alignment, of leaning into trusting something that you can't see and can only feel or know or experience in an unseen way.
And our beliefs around what's possible in love may also come up. I remember when my partner and I got together and I was like, okay, so let's unpack the luggage here. I need to let you know about these certain things that have happened to me because they may show up in our relationship or they may come up and I'd rather you be prepared. And I was really ready for him to have a reaction or something. I was like prepared for it to be like, oh no, what are you going to tell me? And his first response was, I love you right now. You don't ever have to share anything with me that you don't want to. Good or bad, I'm right here. That was the response. Mm-hmm. My belief was at the time, if I share this luggage, I have to, first and foremost, I have to share it. And he has choice to stay or go because of this information. That was my belief, is if I bring this forward, he may leave. And maybe he could have, but also what if I believed, oh, that my luggage is just a part of this beautiful package and the people who love me will love it too, just because they love me. But at the time I was like, this is your opt in or out, and not, I am worthy of being loved with this.
Yeah.
And being here means you sign up for it. But also it doesn't. We attach so much to who we were in the past as being part of how we're going to be. And I actually think this eclipse is ending a lot of trauma. You don't actually, you get to drop your luggage off and leave it. If some of this nervous system reset, how we're responding differently, it's dropping things off of us. You don't have to keep carrying that. You don't have to identify with that version of yourself anymore if you don't want to.
Yeah, you're letting it go.
Mm-hmm. Maybe those things that feel dense for so many of us, maybe that moment of denseness within you too, it's what are you carrying that you don't have to anymore because you did that. You did that shit. You got triggered by it, you moved past it, and all of a sudden it just stops. Some of these patterns, they just stop.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of eclipse season, because it can be that efficient.
It can be as easy as turning on the light. Everybody's starting to feel and be witness to change is actually happening, and happening for the good.
I think the thing that's the forefront is a lot of throat chakra clearing, speaking your truth, even through whatever healing you're going through, whatever shadow or darkness you might be exploring or finding yourself in, you are light. Allow yourself the time and the patience and the compassion to allow your eyes to adjust to whatever darkness that is. You can see in the dark because you are light, period. I did this practice a long time ago because I was so afraid of the dark as a kid, that I would lock myself in a closet with no windows and then block the door and just give myself the time and space to sit in the dark so that I could let my eyes adjust and feel into the energy of truth that's in there versus the stories of my mind. And it was so powerful. Of allowing yourself the time to feel the dark. It doesn't have to be so scary because we're light. Mm-hmm. We're light. The other thing that comes up is like that community. You're not alone. Really lean into that connection with others. Nourish your relationships, whether they're friendships or partnerships, but nourish those aspects. Lean on your community, gather in celebration, gather in support, and allow the winds of change to bring in that magic. Allow yourself to ride the waves of whatever that change is, because there's so much knowledge and wisdom that's coming in, and it is all going to sweep away and blow away all that's in the past. We can look forward now.
I love your message so much and what you're sharing. It's been so exciting to have you here. I wanted to ask you, is there anything that you're working on right now or excited about that you'd like to share with this community?
I'm working on this Sisterhood Spring Cleanse idea that will be all online. We're going to be meeting Saturday mornings, but it's this cleansing of your temple, your body, and will take into effect not only nutritional aspects of that, but what are some other practices we can bring in? We'll explore some breathwork sessions. We'll do a little bit of movement and talk about our energy bodies and how we can really learn to honor and respect and dive into what this temple is. If you're local to Ventura and love yoga, come check me out at Grassroots Yoga. You can follow me on Instagram. If you've never been to Grassroots and you're in town, hit me up and I will have you as my guest to one of my classes. I would love that. And yeah, so much love and respect for you, Chelsea. Thank you so much for having me on and this connection. I so adore you. I thank Grassroots for introducing. I remember like this one specific conversation we had. You were a studio yogi and you were arranging the props in the back of the room. And I came up to you and I'm like, something's going on with spirit in you. And you're like, nope.
Let's just circle back for a second. Even though we're coming towards the end of this, just to make a giggle. When Rebecca and I first met, I was at the very beginning of my spiritual journey. Very beginning, did not know I was a medium, did not know that spirit was trying to talk to me, even though it was happening, I did not know. And Rebecca came to me in that moment and was like, something's happening. And I was so resistant. I was like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm not that way. I was very resistant. And I ended up sitting with her for an astrology reading. And all of the things I'm doing now, she told me I would do years ago. So this is why I've almost circled back so many years later and been like, oh my gosh, can we collaborate and connect? Because you foresaw it, even though maybe you didn't realize what it would become. I think you did know, and I was just like, nope, nope.
It's so fun. I just appreciate you so much, and I'm so proud of you. And just to be witness to your blossoming, it's just been so beautiful to watch you really step into and expand and own and create all of these beautiful offerings for your clients, your people. And it's just been so lovely to watch you own that connection that you do have with spirit and let it flow through you.
And it's so fascinating to me too, that same group of people that I was connected with at that time 5 years ago, all those same women are stepping into being spiritual leaders. I even think of Paisley O'Shea. I think of you. I think of so many different people at that time that are all of a sudden like really stepping into being these leaders. And it's so interesting. 5 years ago, we all connected and we're not at all on the same page. And now we're all speaking a very similar language.
Yeah.
And to speak on the offers that I have going on right now, their 8-week program this Saturday and April 13th, it begins again. I actually only have 3 spots left. I haven't even advertised for it yet until just now. And I've already got 3 people who are really ready. So I'm excited to help you all open the door to intuition and spirit. I hope this podcast is reassuring to you that there is any space that you can begin to expand. It's your spiritual space. It's your connection to your guides, and that there's so many different avenues that you can do it, whether it's yoga, whether it's retreats, whether it's a class with me, and whether it's going to a sound bath or a meditation. There's so many different ways that you can begin to build that connection, and it can be easy and it can be gentle and it can be loving. You are the light. Rebecca and I both see you, and we know what it means to be at the place you're at right now, any stage. We've experienced it feeling like the beginning, and we've experienced it feeling like we knew so much, and we've been through the roller coasters with it. And so we're both excited to hold space for any of you that feel called, and we know that you'll find your way to us. Tune in next time to the Practical Pisces podcast, and I can't wait to see you. Hi, I'm Chelsea. I'm a psychic medium. I'm your spiritual mentor this 2024 to my 8-week program, Opening the Door to Intuition and Spirit. In this course, you connect in community. You build trust with yourself. You build trust with your intuition. You open that channeling capability while also learning tarot cards, spirit art, and finding your own flow through the world of intuition. So kick off the year trusting yourself more, knowing about your spirit guides, being able to flow through a professional tarot reading, sit with spirit art, and mediumship. Let's open the door, 2024.